You mentioned 2 Timothy 2:2. That was a beautiful bridge to what I'm going to share this morning. If you brought your Bibles, we're going to spend time in 2 Timothy 2:2 and chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It's significant to me that the Apostle Paul, who was a great missionary, a great church planter, at the end of his life is not writing to a church. He's writing to an individual man. He had focus in his ministry, life on life. And he says in 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in grace. We could spend the whole weekend in 2 Timothy 2:1, what it means to be strong in grace. And I trust that as the days go by and the weeks and the years, that you will grow in grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it's because of His grace, His kindness, His mercy, His love, that we're here and we have hope. So be strong in grace. And the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, 2 Timothy 2:2, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 4 generations, Paul, Timothy, faithful men, others also. We're meant to be channels, not reservoirs. We're meant to receive truth and pass it on. And the question presents itself, what were those things, the things that thou hast heard of me? And Paul answers that question in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. So let me direct your attention there, please. And we'll spend some time in 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. I've got the King James, I'm sorry. I think some of your translations say teaching, is that correct? But same thing. You fully know my teaching. My manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering and love and patience, persecutions and afflictions. That's the message this morning. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. Doctrine is a life and death issue, truth. You cannot live right if you believe wrong. We have brilliant politicians here in America. It's against the law to give a school child a Bible. You can give him a Bible when he's grown and in prison. Brilliant. You can't live right if you believe wrong. You have to believe right in order to live right. Truth, doctrine. Who is God? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is sin? What's the consequence of sin? What's the solution for sin? The Bible tells us everything we need to know about life and holy living. And you've got to believe the right stuff. Search the Scriptures daily. Search the Scriptures daily. Daily. And embrace, digest, obey the commands, believe the promises, enjoy the blessing, avoid the errors, follow the examples, digest the Word of God. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. What a beautiful song. Perfect message. Read the Bible and pray, Lord, open my eyes, the eyes of my heart. You've got to believe the right thing. I trust your church has a good doctrinal statement, that you believe it, that you embrace it. You don't just look at it and throw it in the trash. It's yours to believe. If you don't believe it, you may get into trouble. You fully know my doctrine, truth. We could spend the whole morning there. You fully know my manner of life. That's the second thing. You can't separate truth from the way you live. You fully know my manner of life. You let people handle you. We talked about that last night. 1 John 1:1. We handled God. I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, probably 40, my friends tell me I never lived to be as old as I look. That's okay. Yeah, no, they don't really say that. People say, you haven't changed. And my response is, I had no idea how old I used to look. I was invited to speak one Sunday morning in Dr. Kennedy's church. What's it called? Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, down in Florida. A hot, muggy July morning. The old chapel, the old building, only 1,000 people, no air conditioning. And they had me up there with a black robe to meet the emotional needs of the congregation. You have to wear a black robe in Presbyterian Church. And we're marching through the bulletin. Bing, bing, bing. No joy, no laughter, just marching through the bulletin. No room for the Holy Spirit to get in anywhere. And after half an hour of silence, Presbyterians are really good people. I'm married to one. They're godly, loving, warm. And this is a good church. But we're just kind of going along. And finally, the associate pastor said that tonight I'm speaking on the subject of psycho-cybernetics, which was the title of a new book that had just been published. And then Archie introduced me, and I stood up and I said, Archie is going to speak tonight on the subject of psycho-cybernetics. So this morning I shall speak on the subject of psycho-ceramics, helping crackpots. The whole place just collapsed in laughter. The Holy Spirit finally arrived. And it was a great blessing. A year later, we had a one-day conference in the same church, Navigator Conference, like we're doing here today. And during the coffee break, a very lovely lady walked up to me and said, I want you to meet my teenage daughter. She's just accepted Jesus as her Savior this morning. And so I talked to the young lady for a moment. And then the mother said to me, you don't know me. A year ago, I was divorced. I was an alcoholic. I had decided that the only solution for me was to end my life. And by chance, I came by this church, and there was a different spirit here. And so I said to myself, I'll go back one more time before I end it all. And she said, that Sunday morning, you were the speaker. And I watched you. And I concluded watching you that life was worth living. And I went home and gave my heart to the Lord and came back to say thank you. People are watching you and me and deciding whether life is worth living. You fully know my manner of life. The Word was made flesh and moved into the hood. That's what it said, the neighborhood. He came. We could live with Him. We could walk with Him. We could listen to Him. We could handle Him. You fully know my manner of life. Is that your lifestyle? Are you available, open, approachable? Let people into your life. Now, there are certain things that are nobody's business, certain things that are personal, private, absolutely. We're not talking about getting into these groups where everybody just spills everything out in the middle of the floor. That's sick. Don't go there. But share your life. Be approachable. Be open. Be touchable. Be reachable. Jesus was the 3-mile-an-hour God. Walk. Walk. Let people touch you. You fully know my doctrine. You have to share truth with people. You fully know my manner of life. We used to have nav homes. We don't have as many now as we used to. Buzzy and I would have a home. Jim White over here. I went down to Baylor, in the spring of 56, and asked you to come move in with us in Dallas. And Jim moved in with us and lived for a couple of years. And we've had other men and women live with us. You can play a game. You can play a game called Navigator. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. I'm fine. Just fine. Or you, Sunday morning in church, you bump into somebody. How are you? Oh, fine, fine. Sunday morning billiard ball fellowship. Bong. You know, bong. You. Okay, Sunday morning in church may not be the place. But be real. Say, well, let's get together tomorrow morning and have coffee and I'll answer your question. Because I'm not fine. I'm hurting. I need prayer. I need wisdom. Open your life. Be vulnerable. You fully know my manner of life. Then he says, the third thing in the curriculum of discipleship, doctrine, lifestyle, purpose. Where are you going? Last night we said, what are you going to say to God the night before you die? You have to have an answer to that question. Now, at this stage in life. And then you back down from there and say, okay, since that's where I'm going, what am I going to do this year? Next year? If you drive from Chicago to Los Angeles, you get on the interstate, and you're tooling along, you look for signs that say, St. Louis, Kansas City, maybe Oklahoma City, Albuquerque. You don't see signs of Los Angeles until you're in the middle of New Mexico. But you're tooling down the freeway and you see a sign that says Cleveland, you may want to rethink. Where are you going? What are your purposes? Buzzy and I have several objectives in life, in marriage. One of them is fun. If it ain't fun, it ain't the will of God. That's Timothy 6:17, by the way. The living God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But another objective we have as a couple is to have one man or one woman serving Christ in every continent in whose life we've had a significant contribution. If you cannot articulate your life goal in 25 words or less, you don't have one. I say, what is your life goal? What is your purpose? Oh, it's to glorify God. That doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry. It's kind of like the little boy taking the test with the Westminster Confession, the Catechism. He said, the chief end of man is to annoy God and horrify Him forever. He didn't hear it clearly. Where are you going? Let me suggest, between now and a month from now, you spend a half day alone with God and ask Him for some guidance and direction in your life and develop some purposes. You fully know my purpose. Paul had a plan to go to Italy. He was going to go to Spain. He never got to Spain. Doesn't matter. He had a plan. He was moving. He was called to go to Macedonia. He was called out of Macedonia. He didn't stay in Macedonia. He had a plan. The man who started the Navigator ministry years ago said, God gave you a lot of guidance when He gave you a brain. Oh. Think, pray, read the Bible, counsel with godly men and women, and have some objectives for yourself as a person, if you're married as a partner, if you have children as a parent, and as a professional. You have four areas of having objectives and promises from the Bible. You fully know my purpose. Where are you going? Then you can say to somebody, follow me. As Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. Corinthians 11:1. You disciple somebody. You make an impact. You're not the only person making an impact. God forbid that I should be the only influence in anybody's life. They need good churches. They need good Sunday school teachers. They need good friends. But even Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that you've learned of me among many witnesses. It wasn't off in a corner. It was in a public arena where people could verify what he was teaching. Doctrine, part of the curriculum. Lifestyle, being available. Objectives, they must be clear, measurable, and attainable, so that people can understand where you're going. What's next? Faith. Oh, good. You fully know my faith. Faith is only as valid as its object. A little bit of faith in a promise from God is much more valid than a lot of faith in anything else. Jesus is sleeping on a pillow. The boat is filling with water. Professional seamen fear for their lives. And so they wake him up. Have you ever been awakened from a sound sleep? You don't know where you are, what's happening. Huh? Wake up. Don't you care that we're going to drown? We're going to what? Drown. Oh yeah, drown. Peace. Great calm. I can just see these guys. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. And then he says something very interesting. If you recall, gentlemen, I did not say, let us go out in the middle and drown. I said, let us go to the other side. Where is your faith? How do you and I feel about being in a sinking ship at midnight with no lights? I don't like it. God in His infinite wisdom does not solicit my opinion concerning the curriculum. When you go to college, university, you have elective courses, you have required courses, and you have elective courses. Is that right? Yeah. You take all the required courses, and then you get to take the elective courses. I have news for you. In the school of life, the colors, by the way, are black and blue. There are no electives. No electives in the Christian life. They're all required. Not the same for any two people. But God has a perfect plan for your life. He knows what's best for you. Is it always pleasant? No. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's pleasant. That's not the issue. What has God said? What are the promises you're claiming? You need promises for yourself as a person, promises for your spouse if you have one, a wife or husband. I have a verse that I claim for Buzzy every day for the last 45 years. She has a verse she claims for me. We have verses for our kids, grandkids, verses for the ministry. And we go over those verses every day. Why? Because that is the focus of our faith. You fully know my doctrine, truth. You share truth when you meet with someone. You fully know my lifestyle. I'm open, I'm vulnerable, I'm approachable, I'm touchable. You fully know my objectives. You know where I'm going. You know my faith. Okay. Questions, comments of doctrine, lifestyle, purpose, faith. We're all on the same sheet of music? Anybody need to go out for coffee now? In case you're wondering, the tree of life in Revelation is a coffee tree. Not sure about the river of life. It's probably Dr. Pepper. The next thing in the curriculum for discipling another person is long-suffering. Combine long-suffering and patience. It's long-suffering with circumstances and patience with people, but we'll combine them. You know what we do? We have a totem pole. We say, well, doctrine, that's very important. Truth, yes. Got to believe the right stuff. Yep, doctrine. Lifestyle, okay, I got it. Purpose, faith, patience. Patience. The shortest period of time on the planet is between the time when the light turns green and the car in front of you moves. Patience. Patience. Why? Because patience has everything to do with your view of God. Let's get going. Let's get moving. More, faster. You know what you and I do? We sit at the red light, mumbling because we're late. Are we looking at the red light? No. We're looking at this guy's green light. And when that sucker turns yellow, rum, rum. Yes, you do. You have within the last week. Don't go through life looking at the other guy's green light. Pay attention to your Chuck Swindoll says, on balance in the Bible, there are more red lights than green lights. There's more weight. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Wait. Trust. Be patient. Don't be anxious. That verse has always bothered me. Be anxious for almost nothing. Oh my, be anxious for nothing. Whether you're patient with yourself, patient with your roommate, patient with your kid brother, patient with the boss, patient with whoever, be patient, wait, pray, serve, relax. Stop hyperventilating spiritually. Lazarus is sick. And what does Jesus do? He waits a couple of more days. Good grief! What has that got to do with anything? Jesus said, be patient. I know what I'm doing. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha was the thinker, the doer. She was the theologian in the family. And so Jesus gives Martha a theological answer. I'm the resurrection and the life. Martha needed theology. Mary says the same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus doesn't say a word. Jesus weeps. Martha needed theology. Mary needed tears. And Jesus met both their needs. But be patient. Does he know what he's doing? Yes. Does he have your best interest at heart? Yes. Do we always understand? No. Patience. Then love. King James says charity, but it's love. Years ago, somebody suggested reading 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And instead of the word love, put your name in there. Try it. Skip suffers long and is kind. Skip is patient. Said, wrong. Not in this life. Read Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And put your name in. And then kneel down and weep and confess and ask for grace and forgiveness. Love. We talked about it last night. Vulnerable. I want to spend a couple of minutes on verse 11. Persecutions and afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Go back and read the book of Acts. Paul went to Antioch, preached the gospel. Some people believed. The unbelievers got up a mob. They were going to stone him. They were going to kill him. And Paul escapes from Antioch. He goes to the next community, Iconium. Same scenario, preaches the gospel, people believe, put their trust in Jesus. But another group of people gather together with the intent of killing him. And he escapes. Antioch and Iconium. Lystra. He gets to Lystra, preaches the gospel. People believe. The enemy motivates a group to kill him. And they get him. They stone him. They drag his broken body. Tell him to buy low and sell high. It's okay. No, the market's closed on Saturday. They take his unconscious body out to the edge of town for the vultures to pick. He regains consciousness. Goes back into town. Gets himself put back together. And goes on his journey. And now years later, he's writing about it. Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. And what does he say? 2 out of 3, the Lord delivered me. Right? No. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Deliverance comes in 2 forms. It comes in escaping trouble. It comes being left for dead. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Our whole culture is geared towards the winner. After the football game, the coaches shake hands. The media person goes to the losing coach. He gets 15 seconds to say what a good team the other guy had. Then they go to the winning coach and on and on and on, interview him, interview all the stars, the heroes, the guys who scored. Our whole culture is wired together towards victory, success, winning. People learn more about the grace of God watching you handle adversity than they do watching you handle success. You share your victories. You give glory to God. You rejoice at His goodness, His generosity. Absolutely. But you're equally inclined to share your failures, your heartaches, the things you wish you could do over. You let people into your life. You share Antioch experiences and Iconium experiences. You share Lystra experiences. Where did Timothy come from? Paul's best man. Came from Lystra. Not Antioch. Not Iconium. Came from a place where he was left for dead. Lystra. Be willing to share. Open. Be vulnerable. We had great blessing here. And here, the only thing I missed was the boat. And you share that. So what's the curriculum? What did Paul say in 2 Timothy 2:2? What do I want you to share with other men? I want you to share doctrine, truth. The Word of God. I want you to share your lifestyle, the way you live. I want you to share what your purposes are. I want you to share your faith, the promises you're claiming. I want you to share your long-suffering and patience. I want you to share your love. I want you to share your successes. I want you to share your failures. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to do what Paul says in Timothy, chapter 2, verse 2, and chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. You'll be a discipler. You teach what you know. You reproduce what you are. And when you come to the end of the cruise, whenever it is, you can say to God, I glorified you on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. So let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you for the beauty of singing Osiel's testimony. Thank you for the Word of God. Give us grace to be channels, to speak the truth in love, and leave behind a group of men and women who will love you with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and their neighbors as themselves. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.